The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When Jesus laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Now, in the old city of Jerusalem, there lived an elderly woman who walked bent over, almost folded in two. And I would see her as I walked to the church through the old city. She was always in traditional Palestinian dress, and she was pulling a cardboard box behind her that was attached by a rope. And the box she dragged through the streets had vegetables in it, sometimes Coke bottles full of olive oil, sometimes miscellaneous things that seemed that she had picked up along the street as she went along. And I can't tell you anything else about this woman. I don't know her name. I don't know if she was married or had children. I don't know how she became bent over. Could it have been changed? Was she born that way? And truthfully, I don't know if it's even correct to describe her as an elderly person because she was so bent over, I never saw her face. So I don't know. But it made me think, if I couldn't see her face, I wonder what she could see of the world. I think of all the things that she couldn't see in the old city. The Ramadan lights, mountains of strawberries for sale, soldiers at their posts, clouds. The Jerusalem that she could see, it seemed, consisted of just those next few steps on the stones in front of her. Now, when I imagine the woman Jesus encountered in the synagogue in today's gospel reading, this is exactly who I always picture. And of course, we don't know her name either, because she's also only described by her affliction. We only know that she was a woman who had a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight, Scripture says. So, while we may assume she was in the synagogue that day to pray or to maybe hear Jesus teach, she, like my old neighbor in the old city, probably couldn't even look up to see Jesus. But Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her and called her over and announced on the spot, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Immediately she stood up straight. Can you imagine what that felt like? After 18 years of walking bent over, now she could look people in the eye and give and receive a smile. She could raise her head to the skies and raise her voice to praise God in a new way. She was healed and she was set free. Now, the word used in the Greek in this passage literally means that she was raised up. Raised up, as we know Jesus was raised on the third day. Now, the synagogue leader that saw this happen was having none of it, and he made it clear. He said, "There are 6 days when this ought to happen, 6 days when you should come back, come on those days, just not today. And Jesus' answer to him was, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, be set free on this day? I always want to change that and say, ought not this woman be treated better than a donkey? That's sort of what he's saying. Ought not this woman be set free? But I notice in his exchange with that religious authority, Jesus does not debate whether to keep the Sabbath, but how to do it. How to keep the Sabbath. And likewise, the synagogue leader doesn't ask how it is that Jesus even possesses this ability. And he doesn't tell Jesus to stop. He just says, come back tomorrow and do whatever it is that you are doing. Or the next day, or another day, just not today. You see, for the synagogue leader and his understanding of how to keep the Sabbath, timing is everything. Abraham Joshua Heschel wrote about sacred time in his book that's entitled The Sabbath. He says, the meaning of the Sabbath is to celebrate time rather than space. 6 days a week, we live under the tyranny of things of space. On the Sabbath, we try to become attuned to holiness in time. It is a day on which we are called upon to share in what is eternal in time and to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world. I was sitting with that quote this weekend because, as you are all probably tired of hearing, I'm moving. And I was thinking about the tyranny of things. And we are really living in my household under the tyranny of the things and the boxing of them and what do we give away. And yesterday, Brittany and I woke up and packed 3 boxes, and then I said, you know, I just think maybe I should pay attention to my own sermon. And maybe we should have a day free of the tyranny of the things. And so we took a lot of naps yesterday, and we went to the grocery store, and we watched a silly movie, and it felt free for a moment. And it makes me think of when I was living in Jerusalem and I would see my Sabbath-keeping neighbors getting ready for Shabbat. And it would seem like it was so much work, rushing around, trying to get shopping done and cooking done, and of course the trains all stopped for Shabbat, and there was definitely a timing issue. But then I remembered that they were not just clearing away things, they were clearing time and making time for prayer and for settling in and leaning into the mystery of being alive. So timing is everything. But I also think that that was Jesus' point, that timing is everything. Because this woman had suffered 18 years already. And would it really matter if she waited one more day to be healed? Jesus thought it did, that it mattered. And he wasn't going to wait one more day. He wasn't going to tell her, you just go back in your affliction and come back on a more convenient day than this. Jesus, as he often did, broke the rules for the sake of a broken person. Jesus had already been teaching the crowds that day, and we don't know what he was teaching. But I sort of imagined that his actions were a continuation of whatever it was that he was preaching. That seeing that woman in front of him was the object lesson for that day. This is what I mean. This is what I mean. What if the best way to use time, even Sabbath time, is liberation? Maybe liberation from things, but also maybe liberating other people. What if the best way to honor the Creator is to rest from all that other stuff that takes up precious space and to simply love people around us? Not tomorrow, but today. I always think back to a passage that you've probably heard many times in sermons, maybe even in my sermons, from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who wrote, from the Birmingham jail addressing the issue of time. He was addressing the issue of time, and he was writing to white clergymen who were complaining about what he was doing. And he says, "My dear fellow clergymen, while confined here in the Birmingham City Jail, I came across your recent statement calling my present activities unwise and untimely. We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Frankly, I have yet to engage in a direct action campaign that was well-timed in the view of those who have not suffered unduly from the disease of segregation. For years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. We must come to see with one of our distinguished jurists that justice too long delayed is justice denied." And then famously, Dr. King said, "We must use time creatively in the knowledge that the time is always ripe to do right." So when will it be the right time for us to fix climate change? When the last rainforest is burned? When the last elephant has died? Ought not these beloved creatures be set free? And when will it be the right time to end the war between Hamas and Israel? How many more lives will it take before we achieve peace? Dr. King said the time is always ripe to do right. His namesake, Martin Luther, is often quoted, probably misquoted, as saying, "How soon not now becomes never." How soon not now becomes never. And I think too often that's where we get stuck. Maybe tomorrow, maybe when it's not so inconvenient. But what Jesus teaches us, I think, not only through this story, but through his life and witness, is that every day is a day when the oppressed are to be set free. And every day is a day for someone to be healed. And every day is a good day for us to confess our shortcomings and to receive forgiveness. Every day is the right time to see the image of God in one another, to speak truth to power, to take down walls, to learn the name of a stranger. And we know this because Jesus didn't wait. He didn't wait. He didn't wait to heal the world, but came just at the right time. And just when the disciples thought all was lost, when they thought, well, we saw him crucified, he was raised. He was raised up like the woman we heard about in the gospel lesson for today. So timing is everything. And what you should know today is that the time is already here for your liberation and your salvation, because you are already freed through Christ. You really, really are free to be God's people in the world, to become all that God intends you to be, not when you get your life together, but now. And not when you quit smoking, but now. And not when you start exercising, but now. Not when you fix everything about you or finish your degree, but today. And so, what would it look like for each of us to stand up straight and claim that freedom? What would it look like to live whole and healed every single day? I don't know what that looks like for your life, but I imagine it includes praising God as the woman in the synagogue did. I think it looks living boldly without fear. I believe that as a community, as UniLu, it looks like using our freedom to free others to the best of our ability. Not tomorrow, today, and tomorrow. And the next day, and next year. After all, to the ones who are waiting, to the ones who are bound, to the ones who are bent over, timing is everything. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.